Hello and welcome to the Sclerosun Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 6. It's going to be a great show. Normally we have like doctors, patients, staff members, support group leaders, researchers on our show. But today it's something special. For the first time, we're going to have a musician, a rapper by the name of Eric G. is going to be joining us tonight, and we're going to get to know him. We're going to get to know his involvement with scleroderma, just to learn about him as well too. This is going to be a great show, and I think that there's always a story behind everything and everyone out there, and I love digging in and learning about that. So just a few updates. We still have our support group meetings. There are our peer support group meetings and our guest speaker support group. So please go to our website, www.scleroderma.org/socal, and just hit that support group tab and it'll take you right there. Our virtual Stepping Out to Cure Scleroderma on June 6th from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 p.m. is in full swing. We are getting people registered, so register now as soon as you can to get involved, because you get some cool stuff. So let's see, we have a new sponsor, a platinum sponsor. That means a lot of money that goes towards scleroderma. I mean, this is perfect. Genentech has jumped in with us to help raise scleroderma awareness, to help with the research. They have some new medication out right now that helps scleroderma patients. So this is a win-win situation for all of us. So thank you, Genentech, for your wonderful contribution and being our platinum sponsor. We also have some team challenges for the teams that are forming for the virtual stepping out, and we're going to give you guys prizes. Trust me. Normally, when we do the team challenges stuff during the regular walks, I'm handing out bags of candy. We might have something more special for y'all. And so keep up on our social media. We are on Facebook.com/ScleromaSoCal, Instagram/ScleromaSoCal, and Twitter/ScleroSoCal, because ScleromaSoCal is too big for Twitter. Or at least that's our excuse. And also YouTube, ScleromaSoCal. So please keep an eye out on our social medias. Give us likes, give us comments, share. I usually say like, share, and repeat. It's like laundry. So with our virtual stepping out, we have performers. So we're going to have a ton of performers. This is going to be cool. So we have Broadway Moms. So these are 15 Broadway stars that have gone together and did a great performance on video, and which is produced by Tracy Miller, who plays she's just a great Broadway actress. So so they're performing. They're gonna give us a special performance. We have Rain, which is a band with a saxophonist Justin Clark and Annie Dingwall, and they've opened up for people like what's her name? Taylor Swift, right? So they're big as well too, and they're being played on K-Rock. It's going to be an awesome show. Jennifer Paz and Anthony Fedorov are back to perform as well too. Irene Ferdrasy is going to be performing. And Grammy winners The Emotions are performing, are giving us a special performance for the virtual Stepping Out to Cure Scleroderma, and something special as well too, and the magic of Lou Serrano. Lou Serrano's a master illusionist. He's been featured on several TV shows and has performed all over the world. So we're going to see some magic this year as well too. And also our guest today, Eric G, is going to be performing. So it's going to be really cool. It's going to be packed. I mean, I'm putting together a 4-hour long show. So I hope you have your coffee that morning and keep up with us as well too. And we want you outside walking, if you want, watching it on your phone or sitting down in your couch and watching it, you know. And also if you're planning to actually walk with your group or with your team, be sure to take a video of it and tag us on all our social medias or email it to socalevents@scleroderma.org. All right, and we have raffles, we have video surprises and more. And if you register now at scleroderma.org/Stepping Out SoCal, for that $25 would give you 5 chances to win our raffle prizes. So you're already up ahead, right? You already get something back for it. And of course, we'll send you our Stepping Out SoCal bumper sticker. Raise awareness, right, while you ride. So let's see, what else do I need down? Lastly, future events. Oh, so future events. So we still have planned our Santa Barbara Stepping Out. We still are planning on doing our San Diego Stepping Out. And in fact, the city of San Diego Parks and Rec just sent me an email saying that they're taking reservations. So stay tuned in August to see if we're going to have our first in-person event since this thing started, where we can all gather together and step out again. Vertical Cure was an in-person event, but you know, it's too cold up there. We like San Diego. We like the weather of San Diego. So stay tuned for that, man. And of course, if you like our podcasts, I think that's a new thing. We should start a podcast, right, Eric? That'd be cool. If you like our podcast, please share. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio or Spotify or Anchor.fm or even watching it live on Facebook, please share, comment, like. We like the algorithms. Everything's working with algorithms. The more we get, the more sponsorships we can afford or be given to us. And it works out. If you see somebody on YouTube or Instagram that's had, like, you know, millions of likes, you'll know the impact and awareness that it spreads if we do the same thing for this. All right, so cool. So our guest today, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, he's ready. He's ready. He's already on screen. Oh. Check this out. He's a rapper and musician from Los Angeles, California. Please welcome Mr. Eric G.
Yo, what's up? Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, this is something that you know, for me, it's both worlds. Since I work in the scleroderma community, and I, you know, and we were just talking, I also work in the music industry, and to have another musician to be able to talk to and to be able to relate to with the subject at hand, which is scleroderma. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Eric.
Yeah, so I'm a rapper, singer-songwriter from Los Angeles, California. I've been doing music for about 7-8 years already of my life. It kind of started, you know, back in high school. Me and a bunch of friends always talk about it, talk about music, who's listening to what, you know, what kind of artists they would be listening to at the time. And it kind of just went from there. You know, I would listen to artists that inspired me. And one of those artists, his name was Kid Cudi, kind of really catapulted me into, like, wanting to learn more about the music and just giving people feeling when they listen to music. Because that's what I got when I listened to Kid Cudi. But it kind of started from there in high school and just freestyling, you know, writing music with friends. Kind of really didn't think too much of it until, you know, fast forward few years later, you know, I have a whole team that we have now, like a manager, a PR, and ended up putting songs out and singles and an EP, and it's kind of just went from there, you know, kind of like a snowball effect. But it's been great.
So I mean, where did you grow up? I said you're from LA, but in
I grew up in like Southgate area, kind of by like South Central, till I was in like ninth grade, freshman year. Then I came to around Downey. I went to Downey High School. I graduated from there in 2015. So I lived there ever since then, from ninth grade till now in Downey Pico Rivera, where I am now. So my birthday just passed too. I'm 24 now. It's crazy. I know when I talk to other people too, they're like, you're still young. In my head, I'm like, dude, no, like I'm getting older, you know, like it's crazy. It's crazy. You got to make stuff happen now, you know, now's the time.
Yeah. You know, I always say you're always at the prime of your life. So if you always think that way, you're always going to push yourself a little bit harder. So when did you start doing music?
So it was around, I'd say, 10th grade, 11th grade, around there. I was for sure still in high school. I remember that. And at the time, I knew I just wanted to do music. I just didn't have any resources or tools to do it, you know? So I was just like, this is what I want to do. I don't have a manager. I don't have a producer. I literally started on my own. I didn't know how to do it. I just knew I wanted to do it. So over time, I ended up connecting with people and people that are in the industry too, like producers or other artists or whatever the case may be. And I kind of just learned a little bit from this person, a little bit from that person, and they introduced me to people, and this person introduced me to people. So it kind of just was building more and more and more over the years. And it just, I got to where I am today. You know, I'm blessed to have the people that I have in my life, because without them, I wouldn't be here where I am today. And you have to do this with the team, you know, you have to have a solid team in order to make stuff happen and to do all that, you know? So shout out everyone, part of my team, Angel, Lewis, everybody.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Exactly. So, all right. You got into music. You're rolling with it now. I mean, what places have you performed at? Of course, before everything shut down.
So before COVID had hit, me and my team, like the collective that we were starting, we were performing a lot, actually, doing some shows in Long Beach and LA and Downey, even locally. And everything, this is when things started to really pick up. Back in 2019, I dropped a song called Window Shopping. And that song, I feel like, was my first song to kind of take off a little bit. I ended up getting in touch with this influencer that's on TikTok. People that are watching, some of you may know what TikTok is. It's an app that people just create. It's kind of like Instagram, but like videos. But TikTok is like the new wave right now. A lot of people are like blowing up and getting discovered on this app. So I thought it was a good way to promote my single at the time. So I promoted my song Window Shopping, and an influencer does this thing on the talk box. So it's like he plays the piano, but he has like a tube in his mouth, and it kind of like some MC Magic type vibes, you know? So he ended up doing a cover to my song. And I think right now it's at like 3.3 million views on TikTok. And that was the first time where I was like, wow, like this works, this strategy works. You know, I'm going to be involving myself a lot more on TikTok. But when he made that video, all my streams went up, all like people from all over the world, from like London, Brazil, Peru, literally everywhere. The Netherlands too. Like I can't even pronounce these places, you know, just reaching out to me and just showing love. And I think it was because of that TikTok. And, you know, they always say you need that one little boost, that one lucky or thing that you're setting up to catapult you a little more to get that momentum. And I think that's when everything started to, you know, take off a little more in 2019. And then we started doing shows, and then COVID hit. And then that's why we had to like kind of stop doing all the shows, because everything closed down. But now everything's kind of opening up slowly, so that might change soon.
Well, just let me know when you need to do some virtual stuff. We can make that happen. You're down. Yeah, a lot, you know, for people that have been following the Disclosure Dermer Foundation, you know that we've converted all our live events last year to virtual. And yeah, we thought we would lose so much, but we gained so much more. We went from, you know, just being locally, what do you call that? Locally stuck. And, you know, well, everything was based on location, but now we were worldwide, and all our support groups, we've had people from outside the country join in as well too. And so it's been great for us. And now we're going to go into this whole hybrid phase of, you know, being virtual as well as live. So a lot of people are probably watching and or listening and thinking, why do I have a musician here? And why is he on the Scleroderma show? I mean, this show is not about to promote your music. It's not about, you know, marketing the next book, or this is about scleroderma in Southern California.
Yes.
And with that said, tell us about your involvement with Scleroderma.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been involved with the Scleroderma Foundation for a few years already. I believe I was still in high school. My mom had scleroderma for, I want to say, like 19 years, 20 years.
When was your mom diagnosed?
My mom was diagnosed, I can't remember the exact date. I just remember when she was pregnant with me is when they told her that she was diagnosed with it. So even when she had me, she had already been diagnosed already with it. So I'm, you know, 24 now. So this was a few years ago, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. So my mom's had scleroderma as long as that I can remember, growing up with it. You know, I didn't really understand it when I was a kid. I just always asked my dad why, you know, my mom was in and out of the hospital a lot. And, you know, he would try to explain it, just she was sick, but I didn't fully understand it till like I was in middle school or high school, probably middle school, because high school I kind of already knew. But, you know, there was a lot of complications with it, and I started to learn and wanted to be more educated about it to help her. And, you know, it was always externally for the most part. So it affected, you know, her daily life, you know, from being her hands or her, you know, just trying not to get sick. I didn't want her to, she knew too, you know, you just had to be very careful. And she knew that. And for the most part, growing up, it's a really hard topic to talk about. You know, I lost my mom in 2017. Due to complications with scleroderma. But, you know, I'm grateful to have had the years that I have spent with her, because I remember her telling me that the doctor only had, like, when she was diagnosed with it, the doctor only gave her like 5 to 7 years, you know, with the disease. And, you know, fortunately my mom was able to surpass that, and I got to spend a little bit more time with her till I was, you know, 20, 21. And those are memories that I'm forever grateful for, because it definitely taught me a lot, losing my mom at a young age. And, you know, there's still things that I need her for, you know, and it's basic things sometimes, like, you know, how do you cook this or how do you make that, you know? But for the most part, I know she raised me to be the man I am today, and I got a good head on my shoulders, and I always credit her for that. And yeah, but over the years, I've always did like the walkathons. I would go to the, I think it was West Covina Park, I believe.
La Mirada.
La Mirada Park. La Mirada Park. And we would go every year in the summer and do, you know, what is it, 5K, 3K, you know, around there. I think the max was, wasn't it 5K?
It was 5K, yeah. Twice around the park.
It was a pretty big park. So, it was. You know. Sometimes because my sister, she's very into like fitness and stuff like that. So sometimes she'll go like a couple times around, and I'll be like, man, I'm out of breath already, you know? for the most part, you know, I learned a lot from the disease and what it does and what it causes and stuff like that. And, you know, it just showed me how strong my mom was, you know, and anybody else that's watching this, that deals with scleroderma, like I have the most respect for people that do deal with that in their daily lives, because it's hard. And I seen it firsthand with my mom, and the fact that she just pushed forward and pushed forward and pushed forward. And it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, it's really inspiring. I mean,
how did it affect your childhood? I'm sure there's positive and negative. I mean, I'm speaking from somebody like who has kids, and my wife has scleroderma. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're exactly in the same boat as you were, where my wife was pregnant with my daughter when she got, you know, started the symptoms with scleroderma. So all my daughter knows is that mommy's been sick. So yeah. How has that affected your childhood? Like, what things did you have to change, you think has changed because your mom had scleroderma?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like my childhood has really affected my childhood, if I'm being honest with you. You know, I've always had a good head on my shoulder because of everything, but I also feel that, you know, it affected it in a way, because I was so young, you know, and I remember coming out of like elementary school, sometimes my sister, she would pick me up, and I'd be like, you know, why are you picking me up so early? And it would be like, oh, cause you know, mom's in the hospital, and I would go visit her, you know, every time she was in there. And, you know, that does something to a young kid, you know, and it hurt me to see that. And it did make me a lot stronger, but at the same time, I can't really put my finger on it because I'm still trying to find out myself. But I know it does something to a person, especially a kid. But all I can say to anybody that's going through it, whether if you're a kid or if you're older, if you're my age or whoever you know that has a loved one that does have this disease, is just cherish those moments with them, you know, because I mean, at least for me, what I've learned is that life is really short. And I know that's pretty cliche to say, but I really took that for granted, you know, until my mom, you know, you really gotta spend time with them. And I'm glad I got to spend as much. My mom was like my best friend, you know. Sometimes we just go out to eat or go here or go there together. You know, she was like my best friend, and she supported me with the music, always supported me. And I always tell this story to people because I love telling this story.
Tell us the story.
So my mom was still around when I was obviously doing music and stuff. And I remember one time she was trying to look up a song. And when I would promote one of my songs, I would say, oh, new song out, link in bio. So I looked at my mom's history because she was trying to like, hey, how do you, you know, find your song? I want to show my friend. I was like, yeah, I typed it in and I seen her history and it said link in bio, Eric G. She thought the song was called like link in bio. I'm like, bro, like, oh, you got to click the link. Like, oh man, she was funny, man.
I'm going to ask hard questions. I mean, this is a hard subject. I mean, okay. A lot of us are, you know, either caregivers or we have parents that have scleroderma or have kids that have scleroderma. Which is another level of dedication that you have to put into it as well too. But I mean, what did you do as a kid or growing up to help out, you know, with your mom or with the family?
Yeah. So for the most part, it was just growing up, it was just me, my mom and my dad. And, you know, sometimes my mom would come home from the hospital. Sometimes she would have like flare ups and sometimes it would get really bad, or sometimes she'll be able to control it with like medication and stuff. The times it did get bad, you know, she would come home and it would be a whole thing. You know, the doctor would send her home with like all these medications, all these things. Like, I think one time she had
a PICC line. Yeah.
She had that one time. And, the nurse had, I was 14 at the time. Maybe I was still super young. And the nurse was teaching me, 'cause my dad was always at work. Like, he was always gone. So when he wasn't home, I was the one to take care of her. So I would, you know, telling a 14-year-old, 13-year-old, like, hey, you gotta, here's the milliliters you need to put in the syringe. You gotta flush the syringe out, and then you gotta do this. You know, it was a lot of that, and seeing a lot of medication that my mom took, and medication that I even heard of. You know, some worked, some didn't, but I know that's something that I learned along the way too. That there's a lot of like trials with this. You know, there's really not a medication that really, really works. At least for my mom, it was a lot of like, try this, see if it works, you know. And sometimes things got worse because of it, or sometimes it did help. And it was difficult to see that because, you know, I just wanted my mom to feel okay. You know, it hurt me growing up to see her, you know, if this hurts or if that hurts or if it's too cold outside, you know, her hands will start to hurt. She'll have to wear gloves and stuff like that. And There's a bunch of complications for different people, but you know, for the most part, it was always external.
Yeah. So I mean, so you were helping with distributing the medication.
Yeah.
And doing the, man, that's tough. Because I mean, I did that with my wife. Got really sick one time, and I had to do for 6 weeks. I had to do her IV, and for me, that was for a grown man, that was mentally draining, you know. And it's like, you know, I'm seeing somebody in their worst state and really trying to help out, and like tracking the medications as well too. And I know my kids are trained that, you know, if my wife starts coughing, they run and get the water, or if she's gasping for air, they turn on the oxygen machine, You know, and I think it does give you another level of maturity, right?
It does. I think that's one thing that you said it the best, you know, is maturity. And, you know, I feel like I had to grow up a little faster, you know, because, you know, I'm her son, so I want to be the man to, you know, take care of her when no one else is around. So, you know, for the most part, it was always, you know, medication or trying new things. But towards the end of, you know, what it started to get a little worse, and she started to use like oxygen machines, like a tank. Mm-hmm. She would like have like a portable tank or a tank that was for the house or to go out or whatever. And, you know, my mom was always the life of the party. Every time we go somewhere, she loved to dance, loved to just go out and have a good time and stuff. So it really hurt me towards the end to, you know, see her having to deal with that, to having to have a breathing tank with her, you know? And it was really hard for me too, because, you know, I had to learn all over again, something new. Like the nurse transportation would come and they would drop off the tanks and refill them. And that was something else I had to learn that the nurse taught me, like, hey, put it to this pressure, you know, whatever it was. But
there's a lot. You're a kid. You're growing up. You know, you have to do homework. You have to go to school. And
you know,
instead of going out to play, you're here, you know, adjusting medication, adjusting oxygen tanks. Oh man, it brings me to some of the times with my wife too. What's your mom saying again?
My mom's name is Charlotte Garavito.
Charlotte. Oh, Team Charlotte. Yes. Team Charlotte. I've made several signs for Team Charlotte. I remember. I'm the guy behind the signs. Oh man. Oh.
But every year.
That's jeez. You know, part of my job is to be community development, to reach out to the community and to talk to people within the foundations, and I get to meet patients and I get to meet their families, and it's always the hardest thing, you know, where we go from one walk where we see a big team, and then the next year it's a team in memory of. And it's one of those things that if I ever disappear during an event, that's the reason. I just have to like take it in and then come back out and be there for everybody. And that's what the foundation is all about. It's just, you know, our mission is to provide education. You know, we have our education days and we teach people about scleroderma. That's one of our priorities. And then we also have research. We raise funding for research so we can find, you know, actually find a cure, and if not treatment, to extend life. I mean, the stuff that, you know, your mom was given this many years and she expanded it to make sure that you were grown up before you know, she left you. And then same deal with my wife. My wife was given 5 years. She's on 9 right now.
Wow.
So even if it's not a cure yet, the treatments are very, very important. And of course, one of our other missions is support, right? It's to be able to provide support for people like you growing up, to help, you know, raise that awareness, to put together these events where you can gather family and you know, see that support within the scleroderma community itself, you know, support groups and all that stuff. So you're not just talking to somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. When you talk to me about scleroderma, I know exactly, you know, what she's dealing with. And it goes, you know, so, and it's, and, you know, this disease is, it doesn't just affect the person that has it. It affects everybody around them.
Everybody.
And especially children and adults alike. So, I mean, so what would you like to say to other kids or even adults who have to deal with a parent that has scleroderma?
Man, I mean, at least from my experience, you know, I'm going back to what I said before, you know, cherishing those moments with them, those little moments or big moments, whatever it is, being there for them. Sometimes it can't be physically or helping them the way I did, but just being there for them, someone to talk to or someone just emotionally, you know. And I feel that you know, if anybody's going through it, whether if you're a kid like how I was or my age or older, is just have fun with your loved one. Don't think having a disease like that should stop you in any way to have fun or to do what you want to do. Because my mom, even though she had that, she still tried her best to have a smile on her face and to just have fun and go out when she can. And when she could, she would, you know? And I think that's what inspired me the most, because sometimes I forget and say I'm having a bad day and I think it's the worst day. Like, oh, this happened, or my hand hurts or my head hurts. Dude, my mom went through the absolute worst, like everything, you know? And when I think about that, it's just how strong she was and how strong other people are that deal with this disease. Because I've talked to other people too when I would go to these walkathons, and I just think it's amazing that if they could do it, what they have going through, you know, every single day in their daily life, you know, it's just something you gotta, how do you not get inspired by that, you know? How do you not get inspired by something on that magnitude and seeing what somebody else is going through, and they're still pushing and living life to the best of their ability and with a smile on their face? And I just think that that's amazing. So just cherish your loved ones.
I mean, it circles back to why you went into music, right?
Yes. It circles back to all that. You know, I feel that my mom inspired me a lot to keep going, to still be where I am today and have the opportunity to still continue my music and for it to have more doors opening up, which is amazing. I thank God and my mom for that. But I also use my mom as a huge inspiration to me in my daily life, but with music as well. And just all around my life, you know, I use that as fuel for everything, you know, because there's one thing that I always tell people, and this might be a little hard for me to talk about because it just is. But when my mom was in the hospital and it was like the last, you know, few days, I told my mom, you know, hey, mom, like, no matter what happens, because I didn't even know what was going on. I'm like, no matter what happens, I just want to let you know that I love you. And I'm going to be okay. Like, no matter what happens, I just want you to know I love you and I'm going to be okay. And then my mom replied back to me and she said, I love you too. So that's how I knew she heard me. And that's a promise that I have to carry out now, you know? So that's also what keeps me going every day.
That's awesome. And I know you have a song out that's dedicated to your mom.
Yes.
Called Paradise. I mean, I watched it and I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You ever seen a grown man cry? the message is out there and shows like sort of the strength that she had gave you the strength.
Yes.
To carry on, to push forward. Ah, man, dude. We can talk about this all. We'll be having our crying session. If this was live, we're already like, oh, bring it in, bro. Oh, man. So, yeah. So, guys, if you guys are listening to this or watching this, please check out Eric G on all your streaming platforms. Find him on YouTube. Oh, so give us your social information. I mean, yeah, all the so everywhere.
You guys can find me at Eric G. So it's at AIRICKG with three E's. That's all my socials, Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, SoundCloud, like everything you could think of. That's my Twitter. I made it on Twitter first, but yeah, it's my handle for everything. It's my app for everything.
That's the hardest thing, is to get that one handle for
it. Really is. It really is. I was gonna have to like pay somebody to give me their Instagram handle, but I ended up getting
it. Man. And congrats to all your success. Really, it's like you know, for a lot of people don't know, I'm extremely involved in the music industry and entertainment outside of the Disclosure Derma Foundation, and you know, it is a struggle. It is hard out there, but to be able to be doing what you're doing right now, and to see how your mother has influenced it, and I see that you're now driven to to raise that awareness for scleroderma, because you saw the battle, you saw from beginning to end how that struggle is, and you know we don't wish it on anybody. We don't wish scleroderma on anybody. And it's not that it's a rare disease. Everybody keeps saying it's a rare disease, but it's 300,000 Americans have it. That is a 1%. So 1 in 1,000, or 0.1%. I don't know. All I know is 1 in 1,000 people have scleroderma in the U.S. We lose about 10,000 people to scleroderma worldwide. It's not that rare. It's just not popular. And we are here to strive to find that cure. So, last question. That's not really last question, because I have five questions we have to do in 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right. And we're already. But I mean, if your mom was still with us today, what would you like her, or what would you say to her?
If my mom was still here with me today, I'd just run and give her a. I'm being honest. If I were to say something to her, I would just, I don't know. I honestly would just ask if she wants to just go out and like have lunch or dinner with me and like spend time with me or something. If I'm being honest. I don't know. My mind doesn't go to anything else but like the music or nothing. It just goes to like, let me just spend some time with you, you know? That's where my question would be.
It's weird when priorities change, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I remember you before, it's all about me and my career and stuff. And now it's like, what does Christine think? What does my wife think? And what does she need? And,
you
know, and it goes to every other caregiver out there right now who's listening or watching this. You know, I think there's that understanding that your priorities change when somebody in the family has scleroderma. All right. So. Wow. All right. That was a great conversation. We went from music to scleroderma. We circle back. Yeah. So please watch Eric G on our scleroderma virtual stepping out June 6th from 10 to 2, scleroderma.org, stepping out SoCal. We do this thing called, let's see if I have it here set up. I don't. We do this thing called 5 questions in 5 minutes, where I have random questions that I picked out of a pod deck. It's like 50 questions. So I'm going to throw it out to you, and we'll do it in 5 minutes, because this is the last 5 minutes of the show. Here we go. Yeah. All right. And I can't find my timer. I'll just look at the clock. Here we go. First question is, if there was a sandwich named after you, what would be on it?
The Eric G Deluxe. I don't know.
Something like that. A whole lot of baloney.
Yeah. Stuff like that, right?
All right. What's your guilty pleasure?
My go-to what?
Guilty pleasure. What do you do or watch that like no one else should know?
You know what? What's funny is because when a lot of people, okay, so when the whole pandemic started, I started collecting these things called Funko Pops, and you know, they're like little action figures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I collect strictly ones from Dragon Ball Z because I'm like a huge fan of that show. And not a lot of people know about that. So when they walk in my room and they see that, they're like, you collect toys? Like, what is that? And I have to like explain to them what it is, you know? So that's something new, you know?
You're like, it's an investment.
It's an investment, guys. Yeah, yeah. You would know because, you know, you can
investment in my guilty pleasure. It's the Beanie Babies of today. All right. When you think about success, who comes to mind and why?
When I think about success, who comes to mind and why? Is it like somebody personal or is somebody?
Well, somebody personal, somebody famous, you know. Success.
Yes. Man, you know who's really been inspiring me lately. His name is Rex Liferaj. He's a Bay Area artist, and you know, he raps a lot about his family, his mom's sick and stuff like that. And I think his mom has cancer, I believe, but he was doing music for so long. Like, he's older than me. Like, he's like in his 30s or something, but he's definitely older than me. And he like has been grinding it out nonstop doing music, like doing it to the point where now he's signed. Now he's like making money and like doing everything. And I think that's so cool seeing people's story, because I've been following him for a while. So when he first started, he wasn't nothing. Now that he's like growing and growing, I think that's amazing. That's like a shows you, you know, if you put in the time and the hard work, it could happen. So yeah. Shout out Right Life Raj from the Bay.
Well, and you mentioned Kid Cudi earlier, and I'm like, oh, wow, who did some work with Kid Cudi? Turns out one of my former students, Phoebe Bridgers, did a track with him as well, too.
Really?
Yeah, wow. And she was Grammy nominated, and I hung out with her mom the other day. And and her mom was like, yeah, she hated school, but she loved your class. So, all right, I'll take that. What's your favorite gadget?
Favorite gadget? My PS5. I'm enjoying that
right now. You have a PS5?
Yeah, I was the lucky one tonight.
I'm saying, man, you can turn that around for a couple thousand dollars already. What characteristic are you most known for?
Being goofy. I'm really goofy. I don't show it much, but I'm going to start showing it a lot more. My PR and my manager, like, dude, you're really goofy and funny. Like, you need to start showing that on social media. Like, so I'm going to do it.
There you go. And all right, so thank you so much, Eric, for showing up and chatting with us here. Don't forget to tune in to the next Clara Sun podcast. It's going to be in May 7th with Ed Harris, who we've had as a guest speaker for one of our virtual support group meetings as well too. So May 7th, Ed Harris will be there. Ed Harris. I'm like, why am I saying Eric Harris? Oh, because I have Eric G still on the line. Eric, once again, thank you so much for everything. Thank you for showing up. I'm looking forward to your performance at our virtual Stepping Out. Please, everybody, register, like, share, repeat, follow us everywhere on social media. All you have to do is go to Scleroderma SoCal, and you'll find us. Thank you all, everybody. Y'all have a good night. Stay safe. Get your Fauci ouchies, and we'll get together. All right? Peace out. Bye.